Welcome along to this bonus episode, the ninth of them for
ninth
countdown movie and TV reviews podcast. And that's right, Wayne is here with me for this one.
What's up, y'all?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones.
Season 7, to be precise.
Yes, the discussion of all 7 episodes because, well, we are, as we've discussed, a television podcast, and here is a way we've worked out to do a bit of television.
Yeah, because we didn't want a whole, like, normal episode about it, but this is a bonus episode so we can geek out like a motherfucker. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, you obviously are a Game of Thrones and you have seen season 7 because we are going to spoil
the
absolute shit out of this. How much so? This is how much so. I'm going to play the spoiler warning already.
Blomf. Fucking scary.
It's scary because we need to alert people.
Yeah, I know, man. It's scary.
There will be
shit.
No stone left unturned. Actually, there will, because we're only going to talk about for about 25 minutes.
That's right.
But enough that we will spoil everything that happens in season 7. So,
more
Wayne,
importantly, I've got some fucking questions about season 7, which I'll be asking you directly and the general listening public.
Yes, maybe we should direct it to the public because I'm sure there are much harder core fans than us two out there.
I don't know, man.
We have the microphones, we have the recording technology, and we have your ears.
That's right.
So, Wayne, season 7 of Game of Thrones, let's start with some general impressions. What did you think?
Straight up, this is the best season of TV that happened this year.
Ooh.
Possibly next year. I'm telling you because there's no Game of Thrones next year.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. So, fuck, man. I was impressed. I was dead impressed. First 4 episodes?
Mm.
After each episode, I'm like, that was the best episode ever. And then the next one came. Best episode ever. Bam, 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 bam. Up to number 4. Okay?
Okay.
What it was that this season gives us all... It's basically the reunion season. Okay?
Mm.
Because you're getting characters in a room in the same frame together that you have been waiting, like, you know, 7 or whatever years for.
So, to either meet for the first time.
Meet for the first time.
Or to come back together
or
after.
Or talk to each other. Yeah. You know, it's big deals. And because the only thing I would say is that there weren't enough episodes, man. There weren't enough episodes. They try to wrap all this shit up in 7 episodes. And as a result, you got this blistering speed of, like, way the things... They used to take them a whole season to get from one country to another. And then
yes.
Now it's like, what's up? Next fucking scene.
Yeah, yeah. Which is arguably the biggest problem with the season, if I'm going to come at it that way.
If they went 10 episodes, I think I would have liked it better. It could have breathed a bit more. That's what I think.
Look, the early episodes, I think episode 1, I should say, that was fine. That was... sedately paced.
Man, episode 1, fucking John and Danny meet episode 1, boom!
No, they met...
I'm sure it was episode one.
She got to Dragonstone at the end of episode 1.
And
walked up into there and saw the throne room. That's how it ended.
The big thing that happened. Yeah, you're right. So there was something else that happened. Yes, but still, very soon.
Yeah, it happens early on enough.
And it's done sort of not, which is relatively kind of pedestrian-y. Like, it wasn't like...
Like I said, the first episode,
fanfare.
I felt, unlike what you're saying, I thought it was very deliberately paced.
Mm.
The show picked up speed, momentum, the further it went. And then arguably in the 7th episode, the last episode, it kind of slowed it right back down again, preparing for
a big
season finish.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll get to all of that, of course. I thought it was a very good season. I don't think it was the best season of the show by any stretch of the imagination.
What would you give that season to? Like that? What season?
Ooh, not last year either. I would say sort of some of the middle seasons.
The Red Wedding season?
Yeah, the Red Wedding season was pretty...
Probably, because how are you going to beat
season
that?
Season 5 was pretty spectacular. Had Hardhome, had Jon Snow being killed.
True.
At the end.
True. Oh, yeah, good point.
And it was the first time we book readers were treated to some things that we hadn't seen before.
Very exciting.
Which was extraordinarily exciting. So that's probably my favorite. Still, very, very good. How good season 7 will be might well be dependent on how good season 8 is, in a way.
Sure.
Because if it sets it up perfectly in season 8...
It will be forgotten.
...blows it out of the water...
Yeah.
Well, then it will look back and go, it did all the heavy lifting.
That's right. All
the pieces in place.
That's right. But if indeed it is doing that, right, this is a very entertaining way to give us heavy lifting.
I'm not saying this is bad at all. Yeah. I had some problems with the season, particularly episode 6, which we'll come to.
Okay.
But overall... Great season, had some incredible moments. And that's what we're going to do, by the way. We're going to end this episode with a countdown of the top 5, our top 5 moments from season 7, 5 through 1. So, do you have a favorite episode of the 7?
I would definitely say it was episode 4.
For sure.
You know?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. And that thing, we'll talk about it further, but an issue, if I had one with this season, was that episode was the climax. Like, for me.
It shot it slowed early.
It did, all right? And as a guy who's done that a few times, I can tell you, it's very hard to come back, right? So you have to, like...
No pun intended.
I know, exactly. But, like, I don't know. See, if you have, like... Because we used to think it was the penultimate episode that was always the big one.
It was for a long time. That right? Seasons 2, 3, 4. Yeah, but Hard Home broke it a little bit with episode 8 and season 5.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But then, like, now we've got less episodes in a season, so who knows where the rules are. But having, like, the middle of the season be kind of the big thing might have derailed the pace a little, but not enough to piss me off at all.
It was the big thing. It was the biggest battle. But arguably, some of the things that happened, and supposedly in episode 6, were really meant to be like this what the fuck moment. And
really,
let's just get to see episode 6. Did I say season 6? Let's get to episode 6.
Okay.
And
tell me what you're talking about.
Where we have our Dirty Seven, as opposed to the Dirty Dozen,
yes.
Combining of all these characters.
So yes.
Gendry returns.
Yep.
We have Tormund, obviously, Giant's Bane, a crowd favorite.
Yes.
The Hound.
Yep.
Beric Dondarrion, Thoros of Myr. Jon Snow and Jorah Mormont.
The Avengers of Westeros.
Yeah. And they all head out north of the wall to find a dead person, to find a wife, to take her back to Cersei, to prove to her that our petty living squabbles need to stop until the dead have been dealt with.
Mm.
Now, I thought the build-up in episode 5 was brilliant, the way they all came together.
No, and that was awesome.
I was like, the next week is going to be the absolute shit.
Look, before we get there, though... Here's one of my big problems with this show, right? With this season. What did they think was going to happen? So you've got like a ragtag group of whatever, 7 or 9 folks or whatever, yeah, right?
With about 4 red shirts in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely some red shirts in there, so no problem. But they're like, okay, we'll go get one of these. I'm like, you know they hang out in an army of 100,000, right? Like, what did you think you were going to do? Sneak into the camp? And they just went. And I'm like, and they didn't, did they have a means of carrying it? Yeah, they did. But it was like, I don't know. It seemed like a very poorly conceived plan.
I 100% agree. There's a lot of shortcuts in this season.
And they had to do that. And I hate that they did that, but I understand that they had to do that.
And there's no worse example than this episode. So they march for, it's a hour, 10 minute episode. And they march for a good 45 to 50 minutes. And then they come across...
The bear?
That probably happens a little bit earlier. They deal with the bear. Thoros gets mortally wounded and ultimately dies from his wounds, which takes away the...
Beric
and Jon and anyone else being able to be brought back.
Good point. Now I didn't think about Jon. You're right.
Now the stakes are that much higher.
Mm.
Then they come across, a squadron and they kill the White Walker, which suddenly kills all the zombies bar one, which was incredibly convenient. And I don't know why that was the case.
Wait a minute. Who killed everyone but one?
So Jon kills the White Walker.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the zombies crumble.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Except one.
Did one stay?
Yeah, that's how they got him. Remember?
So we're to believe that he happened to be one that wasn't turned by that guy. But he wandered into that camp and everyone just said, cool.
Yeah.
Like didn't said, even think about it, man. Yeah,
there's some really weak writing in some places of particularly this episode. Then they realize the rest of the army's coming and they say these words. You're the fastest, Gendry. Run back to the wall.
Now, what's your problem with this?
Then they luckily find refuge with the army surrounding them on basically this frozen lake, which if the army of the dead step on will crumble and fall through. So they're safe for now.
Mm-hmm.
And Gendry is running, which takes all of about 30 seconds of screen time and he's back at the wall.
Well, but we don't want to see that now. We don't want to see him fucking going through the same path.
They launch a raven to Dragonstone. Then... Danny gets the raven, decides to come, flies on a dragon, and it all happens in the time it takes for the ice to freeze a little bit harder.
Yeah, they definitely play it hard and fast with their thing, because that's a supersonic raven. That's a fast-ass raven.
The first 5 seasons of particular this show were spent emphasizing how big Westeros
is. Exactly. How hard it is to get places.
It doesn't matter anymore.
I know. And you know what, though? I'm starting to think of myself like, okay, but if they paid attention to that, would I, as a viewer, get pissed off going, yeah, I know, it's far away.
Well,
you know?
Then there's no way the plan could have worked or they couldn't have put them in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And look, it was when the dead do march across the ice and they're being attacked and you're like, fuck, these guys are all dead. And they couldn't be. There were people in that party who could not have died
exactly. At
that point. Jon Snow obviously being the obvious one.
Yep.
But when they took Tormund and almost dragged him into the...
Everyone shat their pants. Yes,
myself most definitely included. Because he was expendable.
No, he was, and he could have gone down. And I think they wanted to give you that moment. Oh my God, Tormund's going to die.
And then the Hound did rescue him.
Yes.
And we got to see the Hound. By the way, his scenes were excellent this season.
Yeah.
Because we got to see him shit all over the God of Light and then see a vision and then know to go to Eastwatch. That was cool.
What's the thing with him in the visions? Like, so he sees it in the fire.
Yes.
And what? Because he's now been touched by the Lord of Light. He was never...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And remember, he's got his own history with fire as well, having been burnt by his brother.
All right, so there's some... Okay, all
so
right.
So whether that makes him able to see that or just anyone can see that when they are encouraged to do so in the right way, I'm not sure.
Sure, sure. No, I'm fine with it.
But
I'm
then when he freezes when the polar bear gets burnt and Thoros gets mauled even more and, of course, dies. And so he has a little redemptive moment, which is not dwelled upon at all, where he does drag Tormund back from being killed.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So that was nice too.
Given that he fucked up in the first place and actually started the re-attack by throwing a fucking rock.
Where they realize, oh, the ice is frozen enough. Yeah.
Idiot. Fucking bad move, man.
That was a rookie mistake.
It was. It was a fucking Bran-esque bullshit mistake.
But then my next biggest problem with the episode, if we get past all the distance and all that kind of stuff, is they didn't... Alan Taylor directed this episode. Now, Alan Taylor's responsible for some very good earlier episodes of Game of Thrones. But then he went on to do two feature films, Thor the Dark World and Terminator Genisys.
Uh-oh. We both know how shit those two films were. Okay, yeah.
What he cannot direct well is action.
You see? Really?
Because, to my mind, Danny lands on the dragon.
Mm.
Everyone's getting on board, including the white that they have tied up and whatever
else.
Yep. John is fighting a rearguard action, but it didn't look like he had anyone around him. I'm like, just fucking get on the dragon,
No, that was
dick.
Fucking stupid. Because John said, I'm going to take out these four guys, and then the four guys after them, and then the four... And he's going deeper into
the
fucking...
that was the point. It wasn't well directed. I think it's meant to be he's buying them time, but it looks stupid. It looks like he's just got the red mist.
Yes, that's a really good point, because he fucking... He kept advancing.
Yeah.
I'm like, how about stop?
Turn around and get on the fucking dragon. Yes. Let's all get the hell out of here.
It's one thing to fight, like, whites or whatever that are near the dragon, but just fucking... Yeah, that was weird.
Then he goes... Get out of here, because he sees what the Night King does to Viserion, throwing the spear through him, and then I don't know which dragon she's riding on, but that one's at risk now, so he says, get out of here. Now he's doing the heroic, but that's 10 minutes of fighting your way through it. Well, 10 minutes.
Yeah, a bit of a... There's some editing problem there.
Either badly edited or badly directed. Either way, that was disappointing. And then we had the most disappointing part of the whole season, which is... Uncle Benjen.
Okay, now hang on a second.
Cold fingers riding to the rescue in the worst Deus Ex Machina moment ever.
Well, we had established that Benjen was among the bad folks. Like, he was already there. Did we, though? Yeah, he fucking saved Sam and Gilly.
But he wasn't riding with the army. He was off doing his own thing.
Yeah, but the point is, he was ranging or whatever he could. But he was out there. So if he turns up, good. Okay,
to be in the exact right place at that time.
Oh, yeah, but like, you know, the suspension of disbelief. Like, that's...
I'm saying.
That's shot.
Too convenient.
No, the biggest problem I had with Benjen was like, so he goes and saves John, puts John on his steed and says, fuck off, mate, right? And then John even says, come with me. And he's like, no, I might just die, actually.
Yeah, right? I need to get written out.
It's just like Rose and fucking in Titanic. There was room on the fucking chest, right? But
his horse is not a real horse.
I geeked out a bit and read everything about it. The idea among the interwebs is that Benjen actually wanted to die. He was like...
Not good enough.
No, I don't think that's good enough at all. Because if he wanted to die, he would have just died a while ago. He wanted to die doing something heroic. He knew John was important, so there you go. And it's like, yeah, but you could have just gone back with him. And you know what? You would have then been backup proof to Cersei that this shit is sort of...
There was something about he couldn't cross the wall. That was established.
Oh, because of the magic.
Earlier on, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, there is that. Look,
we've now spent five minutes
of what's meant to be a 25-minute episode shooting on one episode. That was the biggest disappointment. Everything else about this season was pretty damn strong. I thought Cersei went from strength to strength. I honestly thought the end of this season would be her dying, and then we would just be attending to the Army of the Dead.
No, she was definitely going to make it through this season for me. But I mean, like, okay. So let's just talk about her for a second here. Yes, she's a cunt. Right? Sure. That's the deal.
That's what you really think.
No, well, you know, that's what we're presented with, so... Yeah. Now, her whole deal. So she sees the White Walkers. It seems very convenient. Oh my God, we have to kill these things. And then some shit goes down where Jon won't fucking promise something.
Pledge to not do something.
And then she fucks off in a huff, right? Yep. Then Tyrion goes in, braves her, whatever. Does he make a deal with her? What do you think? Because then the very next scene after he looks at her and says, you're pregnant, right? He's marching out with her and she says, we're going to help you fight, which is of course a lie.
Yep.
But, like, what did he get to there? Because the
implication is that life that you are so determined to protect after losing your other children is so important that you should agree to this.
That's right.
But you're probably right. This is Game of Thrones. Maybe something else happened between the two of them.
Well, the epilogue to that is the creepy Tyrion hanging outside.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah, hanging outside John and Danny's bedroom looking, I don't know, brooding when they or something.
Consummate. I don't think I've heard a couple people talk about whether he was jealous. No, he wasn't jealous.
He was not in love with
Danny.
He
was concerned in some way.
You know what?
For some reason.
Well, what I've been looking at and sort of people were thinking online is the idea is perhaps, now hear me out here.
Okay.
Tyrion had already talked to Danny about successorship. He'd said to her in a previous episode or something.
And she said, I can't have children.
Yeah, she said, I can't have children. So he knows that, right? So she doesn't even want to talk about it. She says, we'll talk about it when I win, right? So for him, there's some actual, like, he knows that when there's doubt as to who's the successor, that's when wars start. So he's looking for, you know, generations of peace rather than just whatever dies with that ruler. So he goes in and Cersei then reveals, whether willingly or not, that she's pregnant. He's like, holy shit. This is an actual successor that everyone will know. I know.
If Tyrion
it's a tough
backflips
one.
Like that at the end of this, after everything he's been through, it'll be the worst.
It will be, right? It cannot handle like that. So you and I.
I don't know why he stood there looking concerned when they went in the bedroom together. Because he can't, unless he knows somehow that John is her nephew.
He doesn't know. He definitely doesn't. If he does, it's shit.
Well, it's better than what you just described.
No, it is. It is.
Become...
If he suddenly flips on that, that's one thing, right?
Because he's been so one way the whole way along. Now, what I didn't buy was Cersei not killing him then and there.
Yeah. Well, I think the idea here was that they had their moment and she could easily just give him the word and he would have been down, right?
But why didn't she?
Why didn't she? Because he's got in her ear about, yes, I'm a piece of shit. Yes, you hate me. Yes, this, that. But you could have killed me anytime, but you didn't. You know,
she knew by this point that he hadn't killed Joffrey.
Yes.
That it was Olenna.
That's right. If she had thought that he would, I think she definitely would have. But if she now knows that he doesn't, okay? Leads into the Jaime thing.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially the same situation. And he's like, are you going to tell him to kill me? Fine, go ahead. Oh, she didn't. She bitches out. Then Jaime bounces, right?
Yep.
There's significance with as he leaves, there's like fucking snow.
Winter has come.
Winter has literally
come. Winter has
come
that far south.
That's
right.
Which
is the first time however many hundreds of years.
Exactly. So now Jaime, are we assuming he just goes to... join Winterfell?
I think he's going to be up there in the north.
And they'll be like, so where's your army? I'm like, yeah, it's just me. But now he's changed allegiance. He's now fighting against Cersei.
Yes.
That is huge, because I would love to see the Lannister brothers chill out and kill it one more time. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think that moment's coming.
Big fan of that. Big fan of that.
So yeah, that was a big moment. And then, well, look, speaking of big moments, I think we've go over given a real sense. You loved it. I thought it was very good with some major problems around the sixth episode in particular. And the travel time and all the rest of it. And in fact, if you consider that travel time thing, there's a great little graphic you can find online, which Jon Snow's movements through season 7, how far he moves around the map.
Oh, really?
Versus how far the White Walkers move.
I just one more thing I can bring
please.
Up. Bran being the Night King. Have you heard this theory?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, the reason people think Bran may be the Night King is that when you had in a previous season some vision of the Children of the Forest actually making the White Walkers by stabbing the heart of one man with dragon glass and he turns into a White Walker and that's basically the whole thing. The internet thinks that maybe Bran warged back in time as he has been known to do with Hodor, right? And tried to become that guy so that he could stop the whole White Walkers being invented at all. But he fucked up and he got stabbed anyway and now he's the fucking Night King. That's why people think that. Okay.
Yeah, that's not bad. I don't mind that theory.
But I doubt very much that's the case, man. Like, I personally don't buy it. And it's because, first of all, the Night King is actually a construct of the show. It's not in the books, right? There's no actual...
Well, we don't really
We don't
know.
See it. We don't see it. All we know is that
there's
White Walker's coming.
So far, yeah.
Exactly, right? So, yeah, that may have been a thing, but who knows, right? I think that there's no way the show's going to do that, man. There's no way they're actually going to make the kid who's like the savior be this thing that
is
they
Is he
invent.
The savior? My biggest problem with Bran at the moment is he's become this emotionless husk.
He's a fucking emo.
Yeah.
He's shit. I hate this Bran.
I don't like him either.
Didn't hug fucking Sansa back. Fuck that guy, man.
He needs to have a huge season 8. His whole story arc has pretty much done nothing. And if all he does is confirm that Jon is Rhaegar Targaryen and...
Yeah.
What's her name? Lyanna Stark's...
Yeah. That he's Aegon.
Child.
Aegon, yeah.
Then that
all
is...
All he is a fucking plot point. Exactly. He needs to be the thing that tied everything together.
Yeah, he needs some way... Because we've got the knowledge on how to defeat them. We saw in the most important bit of information is kill the White Walker. Everyone that he's turned or killed dies with him.
Yeah.
A la sort of vampire lore.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing of consequence that really came out of that episode.
The idea being that you could kill... Exactly.
That's
no.
the way we win.
Well,
so kill the Night's King...
Oh, yeah. I just realized something that I had a real problem with. So Bran is fucking the Oracle, right? He sees everything. He knows everything. He knows everything that ever happened. Exactly. He goes like to Sam, yeah, I know all this shit. Check it out. John and Danny, aunt and nephew. What? And then Sam's like, hey, you know what? He's not a bastard. And he's like, what?
Yep.
I thought you fucking knew everything. Then he has to tell him to look in a certain thing and then he finds it. That's bullshit. Bran is crap.
Yeah, I don't like Bran as a character anymore. I did.
He was great until this shit.
Hold the door moment.
Yeah, yeah, fuck that guy.
All right, let's hear it then. Our top five moments. Obviously, we're recommending if you're a fan, you're still going to keep watching the show.
Oh, yeah, there's no way you haven't already seen it.
We enjoyed the shit out of it. Just we had a few problems with it. And I guess as they race towards their conclusion, it's not going to be as well thought out as the books. And that's, well, that said, the book has been 6 fucking years in the making.
It's not coming.
Fuck me.
It's not coming. It's not coming.
All right, go on, Wayne. Tell us your number 5 best moments. Here are top 5 Game of Thrones season 7 moments.
My number 5 is Starks United, where Arya and fucking Sansa go ahead and kill Littlefinger.
Okay.
Now,
yeah. That's probably the biggest death in this season, do you think?
You would think so if who else bought the farm?
No one of consequence. Yeah. To be honest, it was surprisingly sparse on the losing of major characters this season.
Because it's all going to happen in season 8, I think. But this whole arc where Littlefinger's playing off Sansa against Arya, right?
By the way, they say in the show both ways, Arya and Arya.
I know, and I will always make
it... fucking infuriating.
It's got to be Arya for me because the other way doesn't... Sounds like you got a stroke.
It's Arya.
Anyway, sorry.
She calls herself Arya, but other characters, including Sansa, call her Arya. I'm like, come on, get it fucking consistent.
I like that there's two. Anyway, so he's playing them off against each other by planting notes and this and that. And the whole time for the 3 or whatever episodes it went on, I'm like, these kids are the stupidest fucking kids in the whole world. Sansa knows Littlefinger's a worm. Arya's supposed to be a goddamn ninja, right? And then finally when it's like Lord Baelish and they fucking shut him down, then it all made sense. But geez, it pissed me off for 3 episodes. But the reason, like, when it came together and they're like, okay, then Arya just kind of just fucking slits his throat.
It was cool, that moment. And it was cool him going from angry to indignant
It was a good scene for him.
He's a good actor. He is good. Gillen, that guy's great. With the right role. However, what was Littlefinger's endgame? To wind up married to Sansa. If that's the case... Why did he hand her over to Ramsay fucking Bolton back in season 5?
His endgame is not to marry Sansa.
What is it then?
It is to basically become king. Or at least hold all the power or control the king.
How did giving Sansa to the Boltons work to that end? I feel like...
He actually traded to her to him. Yeah, he didn't...
He was consolidating power with the Boltons who now ruled the North.
Yeah.
But then what? So they like, but then he came to their rescue at the Battle of the Bastards. So it just was very
because I think he assessed his options and thought to himself, well, maybe now I that
got
Sansa
that wrong.
No. Now that Sansa has left the Boltons, his credit with him is no good because it's like, well, that bitch fucked us up, man. You traded us to her, and now she's gone, right? So he thought, well, then if I just get the Knights of the Vale to help Sansa, I can get back on her team.
Then he is stupider than we give him credit for.
But
he's now assuming, because I came and rescued this, that you forgive me for giving you to the Boltons.
No, I think, but he had a better chance of doing that than dealing with a psycho like Ramsay Bolton, who probably didn't care about him at all.
Should never have given her in the first place. But anyway, look, I just feel like in the books in particular, Littlefinger is so much more intelligent than how he's represented in the show, which is Machiavellian enough.
Yeah.
That he's plotting all over the place, but his plots seemed to get so ridiculously intricate that no one could really follow what he was trying to do.
Yeah, that was one of the other things. I think his endgame here was that if he saw that Sansa and Arya were getting together, and if there's two fucking Starks that he's got to split them up, right? Yeah. So that's what's going on there. But it's cool that they just called him out on it.
But that's why I didn't make my 5.
Fair enough.
My number 5 or my 5th best moment in this season was basically Lady Olenna dying. So she was another major death, and not because she died, but because she then explained,
she went out.
I murdered Joffrey after she took the poison and confirmed with Jaime that this was going to do me in, called him a cunt,
yep,
and pretty much just slammed her words into Jaime's face, and he could do nothing about it.
Yeah, although he could have
stabbed her.
He could have fucking hacked her head off, which I'm surprised he didn't do, but that was...
But that would have been too evil for the arc that he's on.
Yes. No, it's
and, but it was a great way for her to go out.
She was fucking thug life, man. That was a great scene, and I know what you mean, like, because some of the scenes got in my Facebook before that, but... That was a good way of her to going out. Yeah. That's why they didn't show her falling.
It didn't even need to see her fall over and die. It was perfect.
It's like, fuck you.
Yep.
I'm out.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Yours, sir.
My number 4 is Arya versus Brienne.
That's my number 2.
I thought you'd like that one. It was
amazing.
Talk about this.
And you know why it was amazing?
Why?
I'm sorry to jump all over
here. Go ahead.
Because we finally got to see Arya be anything other than just Ethan Hunt.
What? Mission Impossible Ethan Hunt? Yeah,
because all she's done at that point is wear masks and kill people by wearing masks. She is basically Ethan Hunt. And so here was finally was this confirmation that she has some training.
No, no,
and she's amazing.
Well, she busted a cap in the Waif.
Oh, the Waif.
But you didn't see the fight.
Not really.
Yeah,
not really. And she basically lost the fight and then won it duplicitously. So,
yeah, but she can...
No, but I'm saying this was the first time...
Yeah, moving. That was cool.
And she handed Brienne her ass.
The only issue I had with this scene... I do love it, and that's why it's my number four. But the only issue I had with the scene was that... So you've got this needle or whatever she's using against that broadsword.
Yeah, sure.
She somehow blocked the swing of a broadsword with that little fucking pinprick thing. I'm like, okay, but if you deflected it, yeah, I would have bought it more. Yeah. But other than that, it was cool to watch her.
Yep.
And with the fucking, you know...
And you can see Brienne's reaction was pride.
Yeah, I mean,
she was a bit annoyed to start with. And yeah, later on, she's like, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was pretty cool. And then also, that's another thing. Littlefinger saw her do that. And he's like, oh, man, everyone's all fucking sweet and shit. I got to bust these crackers up. That's what he's thinking.
Yes, true. Okay, my number four was, speaking of Arya, the very opening moment of season one.
Oh, dude.
Killing the Freys.
That's my number three.
Okay. Killing all the rest of the Freys, basically, once again, this time wearing her Ethan Hunt / Walder Frey mask.
Yes.
And telling them all what a bunch of craven cowards they are for killing a pregnant woman and, you know, a bunch of unarmed people. And it was awesome.
Nan, this is how you start a season.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Walder Frey. And everyone's like, what, is this a flashback?
Wait, yeah, hang on. What's going on? He's see dead. How...
Yeah, what happened? Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, they just, she fucking levels the family, man.
Which, my only issue is, it's never really mentioned by anyone except the Lannisters. Like, no one in the North has ever acknowledged the Freys are all dead. Yeah, it's the people that killed Robb.
No, that's what happens when you only have 7 episodes to bust out shit like this. That would have been mentioned again.
And I know that she didn't go and brag about it, because that's not what the
ninjas
face,
do.
Yeah, the many-faced people do, but... So what are they called?
The faceless men.
God, faceless men, faceless people. But it would have been nice if somebody else up north acknowledged, hey, the Freys are no longer an issue.
Because they control that fucking bridge thing that you can't actually march from one place to another.
That's right, which again has completely been forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So question about the faces. So she kills Walder Frey in the last season, obviously cut his face off.
I don't know if that's the way it works. It seems more magical than that to me.
No, no, it's definitely... Yeah, it can't be just, I'm going to put this on and fucking walk around.
It's not like Leatherface from...
No, it's definitely not that. It's definitely not that. But, and I mean, Sansa actually found a bunch of faces in her fucking bag. So there's actually the face. You need the face of someone you're going to impersonate. But are we to believe then that she had all the curing techniques that were available?
No, I'm saying it's magic. Don't forget about it being literal like this.
So she uses some magic to make it fit on her face
like
and look real.
To be a faceless man.
Because she adopts the voice and the whole appearance, like the tall.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. No, I just always wondered about that. I'm like, it's not, I know it's not.
They don't explain it close, because how can you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's magic.
Shoot a scene with like sparkles. Yeah, I know. Okay, that's cool. The phrase, that was good shit, man. That was my number three too, so we're back to you.
My number three is the very final scene of the season. It is Viserion as undead dragon breathing blue fire on the wall and the wall crumbling.
That was
spectacular.
So huge. And like, what is the dragon breathing? Is it fire ice? Is it concussive ice that breaks? It doesn't matter, does it?
Not really. I guess the hottest part of the flame is the blue part. So arguably it's even hotter than the other dragons.
Good lord. This is so fucked up. Like, it was just so fucked up.
But again,
man,
it does reveal something I have a slight problem with. What's the Night King's plan up until that point? Because if Dany hadn't come with Viserion and he hadn't killed Viserion,
how
would he got through?
We've tapped into another little fan theory here, which is that, and look, this is a tough sell. I'm going to tell you it's a tough sell, right? But the idea is the Night King had that in his plan all along. The reason he didn't advance like south the whole time, like the whole last season, is that he's like, he knows there's dragons in the world because I'm magic. And I'm going to need one of them dragons, or at least all of them, but at least one of them, to get that shit. So I'm going to wait till these bitches try and come out.
I'm going to march around in circles for 6 seasons.
Essentially.
Perfect.
Well,
that makes sense.
They're undead. They've been waiting for billions of years, apparently. So yeah, it's fine, you know. And basically, yeah, he's like, I'm going to see this dragon. That's why he had 3 spears with him.
Okay. All right.
So
I don't buy it for a second.
Look, I'm having trouble selling it to you.
But I hear where you're coming from. Question. Is Tormund and or Beric dead?
How did we leave them again?
They were on the wall. They were trying to get down off the
wall. No way are they dead, man.
And you know why? I truly, apart from the fact that Tormund is a fan favorite, and you can't kill a fan favorite off screen and never show them again.
Absolutely not.
Beric says to Jon, the Lord of Light brought us back for a reason.
Yeah.
And for him to escape north of the wall and then one episode later just die when the wall falls would be fucking piss poor.
Yeah,
writing.
It would. There's nowhere they're dead. And also, if Tormund was going to buy the farm, he was going to buy it when he almost went to the
ice.
Right,
and the same thing. We almost saw him die, and he didn't. Yeah. And if we're just going to kill him, what was that?
Exactly. You don't write like that. So, no, absolutely not. that kind of leads into my number two top moment, and that is the Dragon Down episode itself. Like, episode six, where Jon Snow, like, basically where the Night King throws the fucking spear.
Oh, it's just that moment, okay.
And kills Viserion.
Yep.
And probably, like, I don't know, because when fucking, what's his name, Bronn shot Drogon, I was like, fuck you, Bronn, I hate you, Bronn, from after having loved him, right? And that was fine. But when this guy does it, because when he picks it up, it's like, oh, shit, you know he's going to nail one of them.
Yep.
And then it bursts into flames. And then Drogon actually screams because his brother just died. Fucking sweet shit. And then just like after that, because I didn't even think that they would resurrect the dragon. Not even. I was like, oh, he's under the sea.
Yeah.
It's a chain. So I'm like, what the? Oh, shit. And that was huge. Yep. So that's a couple of scenes, but it's like that whole moment.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. My number two was Arya versus Brienne. So.
Ah. We're on to
here we are,
ones.
Our favorite moments, and I would have. I'm going to guess they're the same.
One of course, they're the same.
It's a loot this train battle.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. On Golden Road, first of all, the fucking Dothraki come up against Jaime.
Yes, we finally get to see them in all of their full force.
And this was an. I didn't understand the fucking logistics of this scene because there's a total bit where fucking what's his name, the Tarly guy comes up to Jaime and says the gold is securely past the wall, and I'm like. What, did you send runners ahead? Why aren't all of you past the wall? Weren't you traveling with the gold?
Well, that's how big armies are.
So that must have been just outside motherfucking King's Landing.
Well, how many thousands of people? Imagine, if you will,
yes,
20, 30,000 people marching.
Sure.
Okay. With all the equipment and all the food that
they
need.
They'll travel exceedingly slow, but...
But also how stretched out they'll be, because they're on a road, right?
Would they be days stretched out?
I don't know, days.
Well, it would have to be that...
But hours, for sure.
So Danny could have just continued on and taken out King's Landing if she wanted to.
Could have, but again, we've established why she didn't do that. So.
Okay, fair enough. Right, but that was the best thing about it.
It's an amazing sequence.
No, the sequence itself, what it was, because the Dothraki come and they start standing on their horses and shit. I'm like, damn. And then even like they reference like Robert Baratheon saying, you know, only a fool would take off the Dothraki in open battle.
Yep.
That kind of thing. And then the fucking dragon just turns up. I'm like, oh, they're not going to do this. They are! They're going to do this!
And they're
what's
burning
up?
People left, right, and
that
center.
That was hammer time.
Awesome. And then as much as you said, oh, when Bronn, I thought Bronn was going to die for sure in this scene, and he was going to go out in a blaze of glory,
exactly.
And it was awesome, and the way he just opened up and killed dudes, and that got one guy chased him into the back of the wagon, and he fired the ballista, big huge crossbow thing,
yeah,
and knocked him back into next week with the bolt through him, and then he winds it up, and he targets the dragon, and he almost hit the dragon, and then he saves
Jamie,
right at the end.
Nope.
And then there was a very convenient moment the next episode where they managed to swim 15 miles down the river and in Jamie's armor. But anyway, regardless of that, amazing scene.
Amazing scene, but here's the thing, okay? So my issues therein were that, so first of all, when he goes in and it was cool the way they motivated him to do what he did because he talked about, I've only got a bag of gold,
more
I shouldn't
money.
Want a castle, and then the gold is on the floor. And he's like, fuck, my only meal ticket is Jamie. So that all makes sense,
yep.
Right? But then he goes and finds the fucking crossbow thingy, right? Gets into things. Somehow they've rigged this fall away fucking
camera. That was awesome.
I know it was cool, but I was like, I don't know if you guys are... Okay, fine. Okay, we'll let that happen.
Well, they were keeping it secret because I wanted to save it for this moment.
Yeah, but they knew they had to deploy it in like a moment's notice and hence the thing falls away. All right,
Brilliant.
I'm fine. I'm fine with that. What, the power steering that it came with? Fucking Bronn could fucking whip that shit around like it was a damn handgun. But
fine.
That's, I know.
Master Qyburn.
I'm happy with that too. But then when the dragon finally fucking spits flame at that
Karen.
There's no way he's making that dive, dude.
There's no way a normal character makes it, but Bronn is above
fuck
and beyond.
Fuck off, man. He didn't even have, like... He just, like... That thing enveloped, like, about, I don't know, 10 meters to each side of that thing.
I know Tormund is, like, the fan favorite, but I have to say, particularly because the books... In the books, he just disappears after book three.
Yeah.
But based on the books plus him here... Bronn is so awesome. Bronn is close to my favorite character in the show.
Yeah, he would be your favorite character. I understand. He's also a fan favorite.
Yep.
And it's cool that he just dances between everything. And even that scene.
Even the great little scene with him and Tyrion.
Him and Tyrion is like, he's basically proving, no, I'm here for myself.
Yep.
It's really odd. You know, it's just cool. So yeah, but this fucking
We're
scene
in
is
a
the
complete
shit.
Agreement. And that is our review of
nice.
Our discussion of Game of Thrones Season 7. Apparently, we're going to have to wait at least 12, more likely 18 to 24 months. Before we see season 8. So we may do something in the lead up to season 8 coming back. But that's our word on Game of Thrones. Anything else to add, Wayne?
I think we probably flogged this dead dragon horse. You know, yeah, I think we're fine.
And that joke.
Yeah.
Well, and on that note, we will leave you. Thanks for joining us for this bonus episode
Thanks,
of The
guys.
Countdown. We'll be back next Tuesday with our regular episode as per usual.
Kaboom. Talk to you soon, guys.
Cheers.
We'll be right back.
podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.